This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I was stunned.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're all paying rent in Patrick Mahomes' world. His accomplishments are second to none.
The Rich Eisen Show.
And I'm saying that in a world where Tom Brady exists. Look at what Mahomes has done in just six seasons as a starter.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Coming up, 49ers reporter for The Athletic, David Lombardi. Party, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We chatted with Dan Orlovsky in hour number one about what he saw calling Super Bowl 58 for the international feed. The Aussies and the Kiwis apparently were getting that feed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Dio went global, and he went live, local, and late breaking with us in hour number one of this program. Albert Breer in hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's get to him. We figured we had him on a couple weeks ago, and it was a terrific spot, getting a sense of how the Niners are, I guess, for the lack of a better phrase, processing what happened. David Lombardi, who covers the team for The Athletic, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, David?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Best to describe how the Niners are processing everything?
Well, I'm about to head down to Santa Clara here from San Francisco to check out the locker clean out, talk to a lot of the guys for the last time, technically this season. But I was in the locker room in Vegas right after that game, and I'd never been in a more devastated locker room. And that's saying something, because I've covered this team for several years now. And boy, the scars that they have accumulated, starting in Super Bowl 54 when they lost to the Chiefs in Miami, continuing with the NFC Championship game against the Rams to end the 2021 season, and then obviously the Purdy injury game against the Eagles in 2022. That's a lot of scars, and I would say that what happened in Super Bowl 58 a couple days ago in Vegas was the most painful one. You saw Christian McCaffrey look like a ghost at his locker, just pale. He wasn't moving for a long time. Trent Williams was just shaking his head. A lot of guys, their eyes welling with tears. That this, you really realize when you're that close to a team this far into a season, this far into a journey, when they lose in that type of fashion, you realize how much has been invested in it. And it is one of those situations where, I mean, their hearts got ripped out, right? And it's going to be a long trip trying to get back up to the top of the mountain. And the 49ers, I think they're going to probably have to try to invoke some of their franchise history here. You look at the 1990 49ers, 92, 93, where they lost to the Giants and the Cowboys twice in a row in the NFC Championship game. You look at those years and realize they got back up to the top in 94. It's going to take something similar from these 49ers. It's going to take a similar overcoming of devastation to try to, circle the wagons and get back up to the top again. But right now with the 49ers, it's still very, very raw.
It seems raw on Brandon Ayuk's Instagram feed as well. It seemed that he was posting some stuff about, don't forget who brought you here, So how do you interpret that, David?
Well, it's going to be interesting heading into the locker room today, speaking with these guys for the first time, because there has been some stuff on social media. A couple of their offensive linemen were going back and forth, and then they apologized to each other over one of the pass protection breakdowns, the key one, actually, in overtime. I've seen some of the stuff from Brandon Ayuk. I honestly don't know what exactly the meaning of that stuff is, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody yet. Yesterday was travel day from Las Vegas. So I think that, you can expect your fair share of offseason drama again with the 49ers. We saw some of the stuff with Debo Samuel a couple years ago when he was up for a new contract. Brandon Ayuk is entering his fifth year option this season. So it's a similar situation as Nick Bosa last offseason, as far as, you've got to figure out a way to keep your A-listers around if you're the 49ers. And that doesn't come cheap. And obviously, this team is up against the salary cap. Thankfully for them, they carry over $38 million from last season due to some restructures. So they're going to be able to play financial Tetris to keep their core around. But Brandon Ayuk is definitely part of the core following his all-pro performance this season. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how quickly they can get this done or if it's going to drag out throughout the entire offseason.
Financial Tetris, I love that. That's an excellent – Chris, write that down. That sounds like a very good fantasy
really
team.
Really good.
Right
like
there.
That
and I know it's a great avatar. Dropping pieces, very good. So when it's all said and done, what do you think? Is the general sense of Kyle Shanahan's future? Right, I mean, he's got a couple years left on a contract. They love him, right? I mean, the owner loves him, and the general manager and him are tight. And the question, I mean, they win, they just can't get past Mahomes. That's basically it, right? That's the sense?
I mean, in essence, that is it. They've lost to Mahomes twice for all the marbles in the Super Bowl. But again, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, as you just alluded to, they have built something really impressive in San Francisco. They inherited a team that might have had the worst roster in the NFL in 2017. And since then, they've been to, four NFC championship games and two Super Bowls. And now all that's left is kicking that door down and making it the whole way. It took Andy Reid, 20-plus seasons to win a Super Bowl, and he didn't do it with his first franchise. The 49ers certainly hope this story goes differently, that Kyle Shanahan will win this Super Bowl at some point before year 10 and with their franchise, not with another team. It is unquestionably a devastating loss and a string of devastating losses for the 49ers, but one thing I will say is that they have built the organizational resilience to come back from Super Bowl 54 4 years ago, to come back from that 2021 NFC Championship game and from that Eagles NFC Championship game and that Purdy injury last year to deliver what they did this season. And that in and of itself, I think, is really notable and worth saying right now, because they already have demonstrated that resilience. I think that's one reason why they already are betting favorites to win the Super Bowl next season. I think it's probably too early for 49ers fans to hear that. There's going to be a lot of raw, visceral pain that's probably going to last up until the training camp, up until they see the team playing again this next season. But within the larger objective context of things, if we zoom out, they already have a documented track record of bouncing back with the culture that Shanahan and John Lynch have built. And I think that they're going to be right back in the mix next year. And that's all you can do. It's a life lesson as well, right? Whenever you get punched in the gut, the only thing you can really do is pick back up and keep on chopping wood. And I think that's what the 49ers are going to be preaching this offseason.
The Athletic's David Lombardi covers the 49ers, getting set to meet with the team later on and the rest of the media in the post-mortem locker room today right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the conversation surrounding Kyle Shanahan's decision to keep the ball to start overtime eventually cascaded into the locker room after the game, where players said they didn't really know the rule. And, that's sparked a debate, David, between, the play calling doesn't matter when the players don't know the rule. And then the other side of it is, there's just a general sense of confidence in the play calling and just confidence in yourselves and what to do if everybody knows what the hell the rules are. So where does this conversation land for you?
Well, it would have been really, really interesting had they scored a touchdown. I'll tell you that at the start of overtime, because under the old rules, right, a touchdown with the first possession would have meant the Super Bowl would have been over. So I'm not really sure what would have happened, but obviously would have been fascinating to see. As you just alluded to, I don't think it changed how the players were playing. Now people are questioning, did Kyle Shanahan call this appropriately by wanting the ball first? I think all things even, you definitely want the ball second, because you have that rebuttal shot and you have a guaranteed four downs if you need them on that rebuttal shot, right? Like Patrick Mahomes did when he was driving downfield when they were down by three. That being said, I think that this situation and this decision was a little bit more complicated just by virtue of how regulation ended. The 49ers were on defense when regulation ended, and they were not only gassed after Mahomes had driven down the field to set up the field goal to tie the game, but on the second to last play, they lost two defensive backs. They lost Jair Brown and they lost Diomedar Lenoir. Those were short-term injuries. They were able to come back about 10 minutes later, but they might not have had those two defensive backs, and they would have been down three starting defensive backs, including Talanoa Hufanga, plus Dre Greenlaw, who got hurt to start overtime. So I think that Kyle Shanahan just needed his defense to circle the wagons. He didn't want to throw his defense back out there, given the fact they were both tired and injured.
Man, that Dre Greenlaw injury, right? I mean, he just ran around the field, right? And he just dropped down, right? That's basically
he'd been dealing with Achilles tendonitis. He was on the injury report for that about two weeks prior, and it was something that he was maintaining, but obviously I think he was in the danger zone. It just shows you what these guys go through. I mean, these are long marathons of seasons. The 49ers played 20 games apiece in 2021 and 2022, and they're right up at that mark again here in 2023. Greenlaw, obviously an extremely physical player, heartbeat of not only the defense, but this 49ers team, and it just gave way. It gave way as he was running out onto the field. You know, Fred Warner said that he was in tears at halftime. Fred was when he came back in and he saw Dre Greenlaw hobbled in the locker room, and they really wanted to go out and win the game for Dre Greenlaw, and they couldn't. And I think that, Rich, was one of the lasting scenes in my memory from being in that locker room after the Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, nobody's even looking each other in the eye. It's one of those things where everybody's just staring off into space, but then you have Dre Greenlaw rolling through on crutches, and that to me just put the exclamation mark on how difficult it was for that team in that room at that time.
David Lombardi of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show covers the 49ers. What are the orders of business now in the non-playing season
for
the
financial defense? Tetris.
That's what
they're starting with. Yeah. So here's how it's going to work for the 49ers. They've done such a good job over the course of the Shanahan Lynch era of staying under the salary cap while also paying A-list players. And the way that they've been able to do that is that they replace B-listers. They'll determine if you're an A-lister, and if you're an A-lister, they'll pay you. The 49ers have paid every single A-lister that they've drafted over the course of this regime. And I do think that Brandon Ayuk fits into that category. And what they've done is they've surfed a wave, because the salary cap has increased every single season. So theoretically, you have a little bit more room every year to pay those A-listers. So obviously, Ayuk is going to be at the top of the order of business, but you've got to figure out a way to replenish the margins of the roster. So you're definitely going to let some guys walk. And for that, they've got 11 picks in this 2024 draft. They finally reached the point where they're no longer deficient of picks following the big trade up in 2021 to try to get Trey Lance. So the draft is going to be immensely important for the 49ers this offseason. I think that, you know, with those 11 picks, you can find a way to acquire cost-controlled talent, but also infuse this roster with youth that can help on special teams and can obviously fortify you for the long run when the cap really starts crunching for this team in 2025. But as of right now, you've got Brock Purdy still on that rookie contract. You can work around that. And, you know, one interesting name to watch, because he, I think, really made a name for himself in the Super Bowl, is Juwan Jennings. He's going to be a restricted free agent. And that means that the 49ers are on the inside track to be able to keep him around. But to me, you know, he caught a lot of eyes in the Super Bowl with his play, not just the throw for the touchdown. That was a cool play. He used to be a quarterback at Tennessee, but just for his toughness. And he's a central part of their identity as a team. And it's going to be interesting to me to see how much they do have to tender him in that restricted free agent process to keep him around. But these are the types of things that good football teams have to deal with in the offseason. You've got a lot of guys deserving of money, and obviously not everybody's going to be able to come back.
Yeah, I mean, Jennings had a shot at MVP of the Super Bowl. I mean,
there's no doubt absolutely.
About that. But what about paying Purdy? You know, he's got 2 years left on that deal. They'll let him play year three so they can have the room when they play the financial Tetris, and then hit him up before year four and then play it out. I mean, what's the sense about that plan?
Well, they can't pay him right now, right? By rule. So that works obviously in the 49ers' favor. And then he's eligible for a contract extension after year three. So you see how year three goes and you go from there. But what I will say is that this is going to be Brock Purdy's first full offseason in an NFL program, because last year he was rehabbing from the elbow tear. He's already finished a season number one across the board in the efficiency metrics. He's gone toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes for 15 rounds. I think that, you know, people had this discussion all season, and I think he kept on answering the bell when it mattered most. And he's on a very good track to be paid after year three. It's just got to continue. The sample size isn't huge yet. It's just over a season big, but boy, the NFL is a league of moments and delivering at big moments. And obviously, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes before this, he's delivered at the biggest moments for years now. I think that you look at Brock Purdy, he has answered the bell for the 49ers too. And the future's going to be promising for them as long as that's the case at the quarterback position.
David, thanks for the time, brother. Enjoy the non-playing season. We'll reach out to you as things progress. Appreciate
awesome.
The time.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Right back at you. David Lombardi, everyone should follow his coverage on The Athletic. He's got that whole thing buttoned up. All right, when we come back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's talk about DoorDash, people. We are a huge DoorDash family in my household. As a matter of fact, my wife loves DoorDash so much, she almost named one of our kids Door and the other one Dash. I'm serious. We get everything DoorDash to the house. Kind of like what we saw during the big game, right? DoorDash went all out for game day and DoorDash stuff from all the ads to one lucky winner. Cars, snacks, even tax software. What a football game that was, for sure. It was one heck of a delivery for the winning team. And whatever watch party or anything party you've got coming up, get it delivered to DoorDash. You're going to love it. We sure do in my house. Football season may be over, but we are still in the thick of basketball games, the school year, and let's face it, winter. I can think of a million reasons daily to order DoorDash. So hop on the app and make your day a little easier. Get dinner for tonight, groceries for the week, or a consolation prize for your sad friends in San Francisco. All on DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more. Head to the DoorDash app to get everything you need delivered. I also love the story that you've told, and if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well, at the Combine, when you would be pulled into rooms, and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
Yeah,
room.
Yeah, I was, you know, it had come back in that day, everybody yeah. was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
Now it's all scheduled.
It was scheduled, structured. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me. And I backed into this room and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room. And they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test,
yeah,
right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And I sat down, and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test, and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what picker do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, oh, I'd be gone for then. So I got up and walked out. I'd be gone. Well, I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine. And that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews than all of that. No. That story just grows and grows.
It does. It's like a fish story.
It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and let me bench press him. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that when you're watching the defensive backs put up the weight and reps of 225 and struggling to get the fifth one up.
When have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play. Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
Back on our program, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You just heard it from David Lombardi. Niners are just going to run it back, man. They're just gonna, they got 11 draft choices.
We said that yesterday. There's really no reason not to. You have Brock Purdy on maybe the greatest quarterback contract ever. He's making like $900K. There's no reason to not run it back. You paid all these guys. I mean, Brandon Ayuk, I think he's entering his fifth year. He's going to want his money, and he deserves it. He's been a great player. So let's go. Saddle up. They're still, right? They're still the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of saddling up, are you ready to do it? Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday?
Yeah, let's go.
All right,
buddy.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays. Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, what do you have over there, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody good?
What up, yo?
Not really.
All right, Rich, you're going to make it, man. I believe in you.
I got faith in you.
Here we go. Ready? This Chiefs championship stretch. The consideration who they beat, what they've done, what they've overcome. It's the most impressive in NFL history.
Mm. Hmm.
This is really hard to write.
I don't think this is an overreaction. You could make this argument very, very, very well here. 6 years like this. Six straight AFC championship games. Four Super Bowls, three wins. I mean, this past year, too. Go on the road, beat the two seed, beat the one seed, beat the other conference's one seed.
I think that's kind of what really pushed me. The road wins. Really impressive going to Buffalo, winning that game. Really impressive going to Baltimore, winning that game. All the receiver issues throughout the year, beginning of the year. Kelce banged up. Chris Jones holding out.
Yeah. I mean, put it all together.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Reid is coaching Mount Rushmore.
Honestly, you know, and it's tough to push back on this. This is not an overreaction. Yeah. What else, Chris?
It was good. One of the stories that didn't get a lot of run before it was discovered deep in the Brock Purdy kind of feature that was going on was the Tom Brady thing, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Shanahan thinking about going to Tom Brady if Brock Purdy... not ready to go, not healed from that elbow injury that went down in the offseason after he got wrecked by the Eagles in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. All right, so I'm gonna say Kyle Shanahan, guys, he should have just went with Tom Brady after all, a quarterback this year. You know what I mean? Like, come on. You think Tom Brady's playing that game on Sunday? They lose? No. Overtime. Does he even get to overtime with Tom Brady? He goes right down the field. We know Tom Brady's history with playing overtime playoff games. We saw it in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. He just scores touchdowns. And he needed a touchdown to win that game in overtime of the Super Bowl because you knew Mahomes was going to come down and answer. Kyle Shanahan should have just went with Tom Brady at quarterback after all, TJ.
Well, I mean, Chris, it sounds like a great story, right? And and yeah, you're automatically going to think, and I'll jump in here for Rich real quick. You kind of think that Tom Brady would equal success, but here's the deal, right? Bottom line is, when Chris Jones shot the gap and he came up, Tom Brady is not going to get away from Chris Jones on that
no,
one
not
play.
At all.
You're going to have the same effect. Like, what happened to Brock Purdy throwing that ball away is more than likely going to happen to, what, 44-year-old now?
No, Tom Brady's like 40s.
What? Okay, yeah. In theory, you'd like to go, yeah, Tom Brady would have made a difference. But the way the Niners' offensive line played, which wasn't great, and the way Chris Jones was dominating, I just don't believe that it would have made a difference. But it is Tom Brady.
I know. One of the funniest memes I saw yesterday was Tom Brady like suiting back up, kind of like the Arnold. Like,
when he came around the corner.
Yeah, just like, hey, let's Tom Brady suiting back up now that Mahomes has got his third.
Well, I mean, you make a good point, TJ. I mean, they were one seed. Can't do any better than the one seed. They make it the Super Bowl. Can't do any better than that.
Right.
They put it in overtime. I mean, can't do any better than that.
He did everything he could.
Well, I guess Brady's the only other guy who's won a game in overtime in the Super Bowl.
Should the 49ers have signed Tom Brady before the game just to have him in relief, just in case?
But
like
when
the
would
closer.
When would you have put him in, though?
And then overtime, you could have him start off. Brock Purdy, look, you did a great job.
Guys, this is nothing to Brock Purdy.
You pitched eight
innings.
I love
it. By the way, great overreaction subject. Top notch. Overreaction. What else you got, Chris?
All right. I don't even know if I'm asking a question here, but it's kind of like, why in the hell did the 49ers stop running the football?
That is not an overreaction.
Come on.
But I mean, they did give it to McCaffrey over 20 times.
Yeah, 22 carries.
He had. I mean, he had 80 rush yards.
Third quarter. When the game
He's the first ever 80-80 guy in the Super Bowl.
Just third quarter.
It was that third quarter.
Third quarter. Head scratching. I'm still thinking about it. Looking at the play log, and I'm just like, what? Why?
I don't know why that happened.
Again, same reason why the Ravens.
During the game. I'm like, you know, it feels like they must deliver a staggering blow right here. I don't know if it would have made the difference
but
or not.
Three straight three and outs. You needed to just, I don't know, interrupt, keep Mahomes on the sideline, just something.
Right. But I do believe that's where things turned.
Yeah.
The thing turned on the muff punt. Again, I wrote it down
but that
here.
That was in the stretch of them going three and out.
Yeah. If you're the 49ers, you would absolutely sign for them going punt, punt, fumble, punt, field goal, interception, punt, field goal, punt to start the game.
Yeah.
And then that punt was the muff. So that's great and all, but during that interception, punt, field goal,
you only scored 10 points.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if... See, we're parsing it because it's the Super Bowl,
yeah.
But like the beginning of that third quarter, they needed to punch it in the end zone.
They needed something, yeah.
And I guess McCaffrey's that guy. Certainly because McDuffie and Snead were locking it down. But like I told you, the all 22s are going to come back and show that defense was lit. Chanel was awesome. And all those guys up front.
Yeah.
Karlaftis was everywhere.
Karlaftis had a
he was a guy I mentioned before.
So
the
they
game
just
too.
Couldn't do it. Karlaftis, I mean, yeah. You just got to give it up to that Chiefs defense, pretty much.
And the Niners O line, like I said, I don't think they had. Their
they were
best
a little
game.
Banged up. They were yeah. a little banged up.
Right, I know the feeling. Mm-hmm. What yeah. else you got over there, Chris?
Okay, look, Dan Orlovsky said it a few plays away from Kyle Shanahan. Being maybe a Hall of Fame coach, right? Multiple Super Bowl rings.
Two rings. Three.
However.
Yes, sir.
If you're Jed York, you said Belichick the U up text? Just call Belichick real quick, gauge some interest.
U up.
Just say, hey, Bill, what do you think about living in the Bay?
You're crazy.
I mean, I can get you. There's boats. There's water up here. Hey, we can ship 8 rings out. Maybe get you that 9th.
Ship it. Take it through the Panama Canal.
Santa Clara's like a 45-minute
drive.
You're
going to ship a boat?
Yeah, you're going to ship a boat across country. And
you just,
yeah. Put it on an 18-wheeler and send it out there. You know what I mean?
Just sail money around and cut through.
That's a really far trip.
Yeah, cannonball run.
Yeah, that's true. That's a
you
long,
know what I mean?
You know,
that's a long ride.
Got fishing out here in the
get the ghost
Pacific
of Dom DeLuise out there and go on a cannonball run with the 8 rings.
Head up.
So stupid.
You just do it? Just real quick? I mean, it's only 3 letters.
I'm going to reject this.
Just you up?
It is an overreaction.
He just Matumbo'd you with that.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
I went Banyamad. I went Banyamad.
Yo, that's true.
Serious people.
All right, what else, Chris?
I'm just saying. All right, Patrick Mahomes. I said it on the overreaction. He's already in the Mount Rushmore. He's already the second best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
6 years.
Yeah.
Second best.
Agreed.
Better than Montana, Bradshaw.
Agreed.
Unitas, Marino.
Dan Orlovsky Aikman. Told the entire country, the world. This is the best player I've ever seen. And I don't think it's an overstatement.
That was a lot. He made a 3-yard pass for a touchdown. I mean, come on.
But the metrics already point out. They already point out. Chris, I even have it written down. That's how much I'm pointing
you
it out.
You just contradicted yourself.
I love that picture of 73 in the back. Just like,
that's what overreaction's about, is contradiction.
Well, first he's like, he's on Mount Rushmore. And he's like, well, he only threw a 3-yard pass.
I just called him the second greatest player ever.
I had it written down somewhere. It's not here on this table. But the bottom line is, what, only Elway and Brady have more Super Bowl appearances ever. Mm-hmm. Only Montana and Brady have more Super Bowl rings ever with Bradshaw.
Bradshaw's 4, yeah.
Right.
He's tied with Aikman.
Right. So, yeah, correct. He's also got the most yards combined passing and running in a season, like 5,600 total yards. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. This is not an overreaction. He and Brady have already locked up half of the quarterback Mount Rushmore. It's just the rest of them are whatever
you
flavor
like,
you want.
Personal preference. Mahomes' bus is going to be awesome because, you know, he's got that cool hair with the shaved sides and kind of the curl on the
side. But what if he gets older and he changes his hairstyle? He might have an older hairstyle on there when it happens.
All right, last one. Let's look ahead, Rich. Let's look ahead.
You know what we should do, Chris?
So what's going on?
Let's look ahead.
Someone other than the Bears will be selecting first overall.
Ooh.
This is going to be our life for the next 2 months, though.
So. I just don't think so. I think
really.
I think the Bears are going to select it.
They're going to do it.
Yeah.
I saw a mock draft that had the Bears keeping the pick but taking Joe Alt.
What?
I did.
The lineman?
Over the weekend, I was like...
When
I
you
was,
say mock draft, were they mocking whoever's reading the draft?
I was getting into mock draft season over the weekend, and I saw Joe Alt, number one to the Bears. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's insane. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
And I was happy because the Pats got Drake May, but I was like, what?
Yeah. The Bears are going to use the pick. I don't have my crystal ball. It's all the way over there, and I really don't want to get up.
I don't think you should move. Yeah.
Thanks. So... yeah, that's a great
Joe
question.
Alt. Okay,
that's a great supposition, and I don't think it's. I mean, it's a proper question, so it's not an overreaction that someone's going to go and get him.
I mean, it's going to be what we're talking about.
But I just think the Bears, you know, are going to do exactly what we think they're going to do.
Just hit reset, take Caleb Williams,
yeah, and then it'll be all over.
Yeah, get a pick or two for...
Chris, they passed up on him one time, right, and took Trubisky. I don't think the Bears fans could stomach if they pass up on him again for a second time. So,
Ryan Poles has done a great job as Bears GM so far.
So is that it? You got it?
That's it.
Done?
Okay, we're done.
That's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Get the Overreaction Monday podcast. Chris and I stayed after class for that yesterday. It's got chock full of... insane Chris Brockman theories. It's as good as it gets. You brought your A++ Super Bowl game for our first ever post-Super Bowl edition of this show. What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask has Jim Nantz as their guest today. Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
So that's coming up later on. One thing to hit before we'll take a break. I do want to just point out, based off of your finish there, right? Your finish there about how, hey, the Bears are going to trade the pick. I just think at the end of the day, they'll have to look themselves in the mirror and say, is our current quarterback somebody that can go to the biggest game if we can possibly get there and out-duel Patrick Mahomes? Because more than likely, he's going to be there.
Seems like
honestly.
I mean, chances are.
He's gone to 67% of them so far.
Brady went to 50% of the ones, basically, in his tenure as a starting quarterback.
Yep.
So if Mahomes is going to have the same sort of run, you got to figure out who's going to be the one that could put us in that category.
That can stand toe-to-toe.
Like Josh Allen. You know, like another Ohio State quarterback, Joe Burrow?
Lamar?
No, I mean, well, Lamar just lost, but... No, but I guess the guy who's got that extra ability, and Justin Fields has shown it. But I don't think it's lost on me, and it certainly wasn't on you, TJ, with what you commented moments ago, is that yesterday, the day after Patrick Mahomes won... his third Super Bowl, Mitchell Trubisky was released by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
I mean,
third team.
I just could they not have done it like before
or waited?
Or just giving us a little, you know, a little bit more chill on this? It's just like
after the parade, maybe
during the parade when nobody's noticing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, parade news.
I don't know. That probably would have been a bad look for him anyway. But the bottom line is
Friday news dump.
This kid, he had. I think only like 13 or 14 starts at North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had just one season, and you're like, that's the kid, and you trade up to get him. At least Caleb Williams has multiple seasons.
And a Heisman Trophy.
Oklahoma and USC, and we've seen it.
Yeah. Against big-time competition.
We've seen it.
Oh, like you, every Saturday night, it was a play that went viral.
I know. It's my point, is that I don't know if the Bears are just going to, at the end of the day, just say, we'll take several first rounders or whatever the Commanders give up for him, and then watch him show up in Washington D.C. or watch him show up in New England or watch him show up somewhere else, while they pay Justin Fields because the market will have to bear it because he's no pun intended, but he's going to be entering his fourth year. I just don't know. You start the clock again, and you get somebody who's got potentially that next level ability. You send Justin Fields somewhere else. You get some draft capital for him there, and you start. And then Shane Waldron is on the clock to figure out the offense, and Eberflus is on the clock to keep everything running on time. And if he does, they're in the greatest catbird seat ever. The other pushback is I said the same thing about Trevor Lawrence, and he had a fall-off season this past year.
He was not great.
Well, he was hurt, too.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
I think when I look at this, I think it's purely financial. I think you want to hit the reset button and get five and restart the clock.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a great job. Ryan Poles done a great job with the haul he got from Carolina last year. And Fields had his moments, but he also got injured a little bit. And give him a fresh start. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, New England, whoever, and hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Let's reset the clock with this kid who we've seen on tape can be insanely dynamic.
At the end of the day, meaning draft night, Thursday in April.
2 months and
pretty
a
much.
Week or so, yeah.
But I think this will be declared sooner rather than later, you know, based
on the trade with Carolina came, what, the first week of March? It was right before the new year last year.
Speaking of a fresh start, the show is about to get one.
Yeah.
Because I've been fighting it throughout today's program.
Rich, this is your Jordan flu game, man. Okay. Well done.
So Susie's here to do What the Football with Amy and Jim Nance as their guest later on. When we come back, she'll be in this chair.
Let's do it.
I'm going to get hydrated. That's what I'm going to that's the order of events. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Margie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
You told a story about the genesis of all right, all right.
Yes.
All right.
Here's where that comes from. So,
okay.
Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, hey, you ever done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part. Legendary cast director and producer Don Phillips. I come back and they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, mm-hmm. Great. I approve. Well, he comes and looks. He goes, geez, this is Wooderson. It's great. He goes, listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive through, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jake? And I'm like, sure. And he goes, want to shoot it? I'm like, sure. So I go get in the car. I'm about to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career?
Of my career. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. And there was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, all right, all right, all right, all right, 4 times, real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, who's my man? I'm nervous. I'm about to hear act. Who's my man? Who's Wooderson? I said, well, I'm about my car. And I go, well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle. Yes. There's one. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm about getting high. I said, well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know, he's got a Dubois rolled up. There's two. I said, and I'm about rock and roll. And I said, well, I got Nugent, Stranglehold in the 8-track, man. There's three. And I hear action. And I look up and in my mind, I go, and I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the fourth. All right. All right. All right. Wow. That was it.
So
first words I ever said on screen.
Oh, hey there, guys. How are you doing?
Hey. Long time no see.
What's what's going on here today?
Hey. How you doing?
I was just walking around, wet hair, no care, you know, just thought I'd just pop
hair,
in.
No care, what's that like?
Hey, you guys. What's been happening here the last hour and a half? Well, guys, I hope you don't mind, but I'm sitting in for Rich. He went home early. Under the weather, I think, is the way to put it mildly, perhaps, you know.
Like Chris said, it was this Jordan's flu game.
Listen, today. Jordan, you know, the great ones play through the pain.
Yeah, he was.
By the way,
was.
This is exactly what I wanted to happen in the Super Bowl. Okay, Rich is Brock Purdy in this scenario.
Right.
Okay. He plays it out, you know, about to the midway through the third quarter. Then Tom Brady, comes in cold. And takes us home and wins the game.
And goes to Dunkey's afterwards and has a celebration. Let's go.
All right.
Can we talk about how awesome that commercial was?
Commercial's amazing.
Easily the best commercial of Super Sunday, right? You got...
I don't know. I'm a fan of that walk-in commercial personally.
Of course you are. This is like your life in a heartbeat.
Walk-in, which I did like, was solo. But, I mean, think about the heavy hitters in the Dunkin' commercial. True.
Matt Damon looks so miserable to be his best friend.
Like, it was great.
I don't think he was acting too much, was he?
Honestly, give Matt an Oscar for that.
Amazing. Loved
Damon
it.
Damon only has the one Oscar, right? For writing Good Will Hunting?
I believe
Let's give Damon a second Oscar for that performance in the Dunkin' commercial. Come on. Damon, Affleck, Brady is the DJ, Jennifer Lopez, was Jack Harlow,
Fat Joe, and Ice Spice. Fat Joe was in there.
The commercial was phenomenal.
You don't know who Ice Spice is? She was with Taylor Swift at the football
game. No, I know, but I'd never heard of her before this week.
Oh, I texted Shaq this morning, and I'm like, don't even look at her. She's too young. I'm like, no.
ODB. Shaq posted a picture and he said something with, and he said, Ice Spice is sexy. Thanks, Taylor Swift. So I think that's what Susie's kind of.
ODB. I'm like, too young. That's just too young. I will say this, though. I think J-Lo was probably like already like, you know, texting celebrity divorce attorney Laura Wasser.
How do we get out of this one?
This commercial, like, I hope he is making a lot of money. Anyway, hi, guys. I'm with you for the next hour and 15 before we roll into What the Football. Amy Trask is in the back. We do have Jim Nance's Wine the Calling ready to pop for our podcast. But before we do that, I want to just take a couple calls because I really do appreciate how people, like, sit here and wait. Mm-hmm. And as Rich makes his way up the 405, perhaps with, like, a plastic baggie next to him.
He probably should.
On the way home, I told him this morning, I looked at him, I said, you know what? Let me go do it right now. Let me go do the show.
Just go one of those IV places and just get hooked up.
I got the IV on the way.
Let's do it.
Don't you worry. We've got Coop home sick. I feel like I should walk around like in one of those, like, you know,
hazmat suits.
That's where I was going.
Bring bad hazmat.
Let's go to Anthony in Santa Barbara. What do the Steelers need to do in the offseason? I'll tell you right now, there's a couple quarterbacks wondering if they're going to be getting some new stripes for the year. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I hope Rich feels better. My first question is, do you think the Steelers will, if he's available from the Bears, go after Justin Fields? Or do you think Jordan Travis out of Florida State would be a better option?
That's a really good option, but I think we all know that Mike Tomlin has liked the look of Justin Fields. I mean, what do you think, Chris? I mean, there's Russell Wilson out there. We've got a lot of opportunity. Do you go to a college? I don't think so. I think he needs to have some stability in there after seeing how they're riding the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think you tried it with the rookie first-round quarterback. Not a great class, but Kenny Pickett was the guy. First QB taken was in the 20s, right?
Yeah. That year. That's how I won that $20 for
me. Didn't, well, I finally paid you. Didn't work. I think if you're Steelers, you got to go the veteran route. You have a team that they showed last year. It's going to play hard as long as TJ Watt is healthy. They ran the football well at the end of the year.
Yep.
Got a lot of talent, a wide receiver. They can challenge Baltimore and Cleveland and Cincinnati for that division. They can win 10, 11 games and make the playoffs. You need that veteran steady hand. A quarterback, is it Russell Wilson? I don't know. Is it Justin Fields? Been seeing a lot of that on the old Twitterverse there with the rumors. I think they got to go out and get somebody. Also draft someone. Can never have enough quarterbacks. I mean, the Patriots took a quarterback every year in the draft, it seemed like. So Pittsburgh's definitely going to be in the market for somebody. I would expect them to make a big move.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so, TJ. I just feel like they need stability there. Mm-hmm. They need to take it down a notch. And I think that people in Denver would say, like, do you really want Russell Wilson after what they saw this year? But what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, going off what Chris says, people in Pittsburgh always like to say, that's not the Steeler way. That's not what the Steelers have done. But sometimes you have to take a look at what you're doing, and if it's not working, you got to switch it up a little bit. My initial thought when it looked like Russ was done was maybe Russell in the Steelers uniform, because they haven't done something like that previous. But why not take a chance? You have Arthur Smith now as OC, so you know the running game is going to flourish. Pretty sure Najee Harris and Jalen Warren are just like rubbing their hands together in anticipation. But why not? Why not try something different as a Steeler organization? Why not go after? Because I feel like the price to pay for Justin Fields would probably be really, really high. But and not knowing exactly how Russ's contract is structured. But I feel like if they take the shot, why not? I think Russell Wilson still has some left in the tank.
If Russell Wilson gets released, then he's out. You just got to pay him veterans minimum or whatever.
Yeah. So why not?
Also, what about Kirk Cousins? I guess we all kind of assume he's going to go back to Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's the...
He's also going to be a guy, he'd probably command more money than Russell Wilson. You know, I'm seeing things online, two for 80, whatever. But he's going to be 36 coming off an Achilles. Russell Wilson will be 36 just after Thanksgiving, coming off of two kind of disappointing years in Denver, though
he played well this year,
playing a little bit above average last year. I just think if you're Pittsburgh, like I said before, you know you're close. They were a playoff team this year anyway, so I just think you got to do something.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
Step out of your comfort zone as a franchise, as an organization.
Yeah,
maybe take a chance.
It's just not what they do.
It's not what they do.
It was even surprising when they took Kenny Pickett in the first round a couple years ago.
But clearly, according to Steeler fans, what they've been doing hasn't been working other than the no losing seasons.
Right, so they should go full Costanza, just do the opposite?
Do the opposite. Try it. Go for it.
Yeah. Anthony, how do you feel? Do you think we've solved your issue here, or do you feel concerned about what's ahead?
I'm not sold on Russell Wilson. I think Justin Fields would be the best option. If not, I like Jordan Travis because he's not getting enough credit because of his injury that he had during the season. So I think he's a sleeper. But I did have one more question for you guys. Do you think the NFL will ever go to AI? Because I'd love to hear them do a Super Bowl with John Facenda's voice.
Oh, like AI broadcasters?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hope not. I've seen
the John Facenda voice.
I've seen The Terminator. I know how that ends up. So.
Okay, first of all, I think coming off of Vegas, where all we talk about is AI and also like holograms and what have you,
yeah.
I can see like maybe bringing John Facenda back for like in between downs.
Or like a commercial.
Something special. Mm-hmm. But you got to react to this stuff live. I don't think AI could do this that fast, do you? I mean, how do you have AI replace a fumble? Or a torn Achilles on the sidelines coming off of nothing.
Is AI going to give me Romo's excitement? Here we go, Jim. I don't know.
Right?
You know
what I mean? Yeah, like I said.
The nostalgia of it, you know, even if it's just a Super Bowl replay that they do on NFL Network every year when they do the Super Bowls.
Hey, Anthony, I'll start up a pitch meeting for you. People over at NFL Network. And by the way, like, this is a great idea. It's a fun idea. This reminds me, this is so throwback, but do you remember, hey, Anthony, thanks again for your time. Do you remember that Saturday Night Live skit back in the day? And it was her name? Natalie Sings with Dead Friends of Her Father. And it was all those like.
No, I don't
remember that one.
Oh, God, you got to look this up. I'll think about it in the break. But things I didn't think I'd be prepared for as I go out on the Rich Eisen show. Saturday Night Live throwbacks. All right. Martine in New York City, what do you have for us? And hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Susie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yes. And happy after Super Bowl.
To you, too.
Thank you. I had two things I wanted to ask. One was, I know all the controversy and all the issues with Kadarius Toney. Was he present at the game at all? I know he wasn't activated.
Good question. I don't remember any shots of him on the
sideline.
Neither
do I.
Also, I think they don't want to remind you that he's there half the time, right? I mean, I think there's so much.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, his whole Instagram nonsense and what have you, I thought that they just might have hit him hit him behind the Gatorade big container or something and not let him out. The other thing I wanted to bring up was, first of all, Brock, you are so anti-Chiefs. I listened to you the whole time prior, and then I listened to you earlier make a comment. Why do you hate my Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs?
I don't think that's an accurate representation at all. I actually bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl before the playoffs started, Martine.
I know you
so,
did.
I don't know what you mean there.
Well, no, I'm just talking about, because you know the whole country, you hate the new Tom Brady of the next decade. You know, he wins, and half the country or half the world is anti-Patty. But I must have misunderstood what I was listening to.
You probably didn't misunderstand, Martine.
No, listen. Martine, number one, yes. We watched the Super Bowl together, and he was very pro-Chiefs. That's number one, okay? While his son was doing, like, you know, body slams on all my kids. Number two, he's a Patriots fan. You can't root for somebody in the AFC. You can bet on them and make some money.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't.
But I think Chris
right.
gets itchy when people talk about Mahomes' goat, because something
early,
we have in so common is we have a goat. And so we're protecting Tommy. That's basically what it boils down to, I think, Martine. But how's the snow in New York? You doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing well. It's not. It wasn't as bad where I am. New City is where I'm from. I'm actually in Narrowsburg right now, which
nice.
Is in Sullivan County.
Nice.
But it's not that bad. Can I mention one other thing about the game, which was this. When the game started, the whole time, because of the Eagles-Chiefs game last year, from the very beginning, I said, I know he's going to use – I call it corn dog. I know he's going to use it. I know he's going to use it. He's not going to show anybody. And at the last minute, when they were, you know, the very last play where McColl caught the ball, I knew it was coming, and I was so excited that it was McColl Hardman, and I was so excited that MVS caught the touchdown pass, because I wanted those guys to be resurrected from the national opinion on, you know, the droppers, the pro droppers, so to speak. So that made me really, really happy.
And I'm so glad.
I just wanted to share that you guys put on the most amazing Super Bowl show. I watched you every day.
Thank you.
I'm home, and I'm disabled, and I can't go anywhere. So Brock and everybody kept me company with Rich, and it was the best show I ever saw.
Martine, did you get drunk with us during the second hour on Friday?
Yes, I did.
Atta girl.
Fantastic.
Martine, stay on. Give your address. Let's send you a care package. We really appreciate you being such a loyal fan.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right, thank you, honey. Bye-bye.
Take care. I love Martine. Are you kidding me? She got
great.
Drunk with you guys at home. I like her.
I mean,
her.
We were getting after it on Friday.
Well, yeah, you were. So much more Rich Eisen show ahead. I know you weren't expecting me, but
here
I am. We got a lot more in the third hour of the Rich Eisen show. Don't go anywhere.
TJ, I'm just happy that I've reached status where everyone thinks I hate their team.
Well, you do, kind of. You do hate Mo. Look, you're like me. You like one team, and you pretty much, well, and pro football, not all the other sports.
Pro football.
You like one team and you hate everybody else.
Yeah, but you're also a pissy New Englander, so I think that's really what both. It was Natalie Cole, by the way. It's a great old bit.
I was about to say it's Ellen Cleghorn playing Natalie Cole, and she's singing with her dad's dead.
It's one of the greatest bits of all time from SNL. Go back, any of you, go there and check it out. It's so fantastic. And it's about holograms, and it's so wildly inappropriate that you're welcome is all I have to say.
You're welcome.
I love Martine. We're going to send Martine a package. I was 92. Was it 92?
It says March 14th, 1992.
So I was 20.
What were you doing? Okay.
Just had to do the math. I'm like, Amy Trask, I count on my fingers.
And it looks like Tim Meadows is Sammy Davis Jr. I can't hear it, obviously. I'm just kind of scrolling through the video and.
That's funny. New York City is supposed to get like 10 inches of snow.
Yeah,
I know.
Morning,
I called
football.
My mom and I asked her if she was okay. She's like, oh, it's fine.
I saw Good Morning Football this morning. They all zoomed in from home. They couldn't make it
to
the studio.
Oh,
yeah.
That's weak. Come on.
Come on, Kyle Brandt. I thought you were angry run
really?
Guy. Where's your
the
scepter?
Long Island Railroad wasn't working this morning? This mass transit. Come on.
I mean, we can't say anything because it was like 70 when I drove to work today behind the airport. So, you know, we can't really.
When I was their age, I would have walked 5 miles in the snow.
Uphill both ways.
Third hour of the Rich Eisen Show. Albert Breer coming up next.